Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here, Lord, and we ask on you to be with us in this service, Lord, and guide us through each and every part, dear God. May, dear God, that you would, Father, anoint us, Lord, to where your word can come and be a help to each and every individual. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on this morning is in all thy ways acknowledge him. Before we go into that, I wanted to make mention of something that took place this week. We all know that the inauguration of the new president took place this week. And I don't know about you, but there seemed to be things all over the place, message people sending out things about the vice president wearing purple. I don't know if any of y'all come across it or not, or if it come to your, but, and they were mentioning the quotes where Brother Branham said about a woman rising up in the United States and have power. In one place, he said she could be a vice president or the president. And, he said about, you know, he saw her wearing some royal color like purple. But he also said it could be the Catholic Church. Now, a lot of people seem like they look for something tangible, a tangible sign, something that they can say, oh, yeah, it was a purple dress, you know. And that's all well and fine. But that wasn't what drew my attention, because it seems like, first of all, every time any woman raises up in politics, somebody sends out this quote. So maybe this was the closest one, and maybe it is right, and I don't know, but it wasn't what caught my attention. What caught my attention is that the president, Joseph Biden, is a Catholic. And Brother Branham said that when the first Catholic president got in, he said they rigged the vote to where every time you voted for Nixon, it would end up being a vote for Kennedy. And he said they rigged the election, and that's how Kennedy, the first Catholic president, got in. Now, I don't know what you think or how you feel, but I believe this election was rigged. It was fraudulent. I believe if they hadn't had the mail-in ballots, that Biden wouldn't have won. I believe there were people who double voted, and also they proved where there was dead people who voted. So we find again another election, seems like it's rigged. And again, it's a Catholic president. And the Bible says, when it described the Catholic Church, it said she was arrayed in purple. So when I think about the color purple, I think about that purple curtain. And Biden, you know, if you've listened at all to the Pope, he is going more for diversity than what other popes did. Diversity within the churches, accepting people of other religions, and accepting people of different genders and sexes and whatever living, and gays and everything. You know, this pope is different than other popes that have ever had before. And this pope is backing Biden. And Biden has already nominated a gay person to be in his cabinet. He's already nominated a transgender, as a man who is making himself a woman, to be in his cabinet. And he's nominated a Muslim to be in his cabinet. So that's diversity. He's nominating people within his cabinet that don't care nothing about America or American or Christian values. I mean, don't kid yourself. Liberals don't care about Christian values. Now, I'm not saying this stuff to be political. I'm saying this because it seems like this has come up, and I don't, like I said, I don't know how many of you have this has come across your path on Facebook or wherever else, but it did mine, and I just wanted to say something about it. Maybe she is a fulfillment. I don't know. But that wasn't what my focus was on. My focus was on the Catholic Church. And that's, Brother Bram said, it could be a woman. He said, or he said, I've got down here in parentheses, it could be the Catholic Church. And said the Catholic Church was arrayed in purple and scarlet. And this woman that he's speaking about to be arrayed in purple and scarlet is described in the Bible as being the great whore, Mother Babylon, the great. And that's about all I got to say about that. But I just wanted to bring that up and bring it to your attention. And I thought it shouldn't go without me saying something about it. And could it be that this is it and this is a sign of the end? Could be. You know, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, don't get your focus so much on what some woman was wearing one day of the year and not on what is actually in control now in this country. And that woman that's in control is the Catholic Church. And so that was one of the prophecies that Brother Branham gave that would happen before the end time. So could this be a fulfillment? Very well could be. Brother Branham had a lot to say about when John F. Kennedy went into office as a Catholic president. And he said, you know, that first time they invited the Pope. And he had a lot to say about that. So I just thought a lot about what's going on here with Biden being a Catholic. And not meaning to say these things in any way, political affiliations, but just pointing to what the prophecy, what Brother Branham had to say about it. And now I'd like to speak on this in Proverbs chapter 3. And in all thy ways acknowledge him. But before I get to that verse, I wanted to look at verse 5 for just a moment. And it said, trust the Lord with all thine heart. And trust is a very big thing. It's something that a lot of folks have trouble with in this life is trust. Who should they trust? But the problem that what I'm looking at is not so much whether they trust one another as much as it is, do they trust God? Do they put their lives in God's hand? And then the verse says, lean not to thine own understanding. And, you know, this is Solomon writing this to his sons. And I do not believe that Solomon wanted his sons to be illiterate, but that he was telling them, don't lean to your own understanding of things. When it comes to the things of God, don't lean to your own understanding. When you put this in conjunction with the next verse, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, then you realize that when you're in all your ways, don't lean to your own understanding. When you're making decisions, don't lean to your own understanding. There's nothing wrong with having an education. But when your education seems to lean away from God's word, then let your education go and lean toward God's word. And don't try to lean to your understanding to figure out the things of God. Now, Eve leaned to her own understanding. That's what the devil got her to do. And he began to tell her, you know, can you not eat of all the trees of the garden? Yes, except the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. The day we eat thereof, that day we'll die. Surely you'll not die. So Eve got to reasoning with him. And he began to manipulate her understanding of God's word. And she leaned to that. And it not only got her in trouble, but it threw the whole world in trouble. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. In every part of our lives, in all our ways, we must acknowledge the Lord. We must consider God in everything we do, everything we speak, everything we hear. We must consider him. When it comes to our jobs, we must consider the Lord first. For instance, if it's a job that's going to keep you out of church all the time, then you better consider the ways of the Lord. You better acknowledge the Lord in your ways and realize that ain't the job for you. Now, I know there are jobs that people have that rotate through schedules and so on, you know, and every once in a while you know, you're out of church. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about, for instance, if I could just use this, Brother Tim said years ago, he said he took that job of driving truck across country, he told me, so he could stay out of church. Well, that wouldn't be considering the Lord in your ways, would it? And Brother Tim quit that job when he come to the Lord and asked for prayer to give him another job where he could work the job and be able to be a church. That was considering the Lord in his ways. And so, you know, I had a brother come to me one time, and he was wanting this truck driving job, and he asked me to pray for him, the Lord to help him get the job, you know, and I didn't ask him really a lot of questions about it, and I said, all right, I will, and I prayed for him, you know, and the next thing you know, he wasn't in church no more because his truck driving job kept him on the road. Well, then after some while, he decided maybe he should be back in church, and he asked me to pray for him to get another job, you know. But, and there's more to that story, but that's all I want to get into. But, you know, consider him when it comes to your job, when it comes to school. Consider the Lord. When it comes to, and this is one thing that I find a lot of people don't consider, when they start thinking about where they're going to live, they don't think about, well, where am I going to go to church? They think about, they a lot of times, there's a lot of people make that decision based on their own desire. I remember years ago up in Ohio, there was a brother who kept talking about retirement. And he kept talking about when he retired, he was going to move down to West Virginia. And, you know, you got to ask him, well, is there any churches in that part of West Virginia? No. Well, then how can you consider that then? There's no church to go to, then how can you consider moving there? lot of people take into consideration their desire, make their decisions according to their desire instead of according to the will of God. And the thing is, we need to seek out what's the will of God. And I've had people ask me the question, well, how do you find the will of God? Well, here's what the prophet had to say about it. He said, take it to the Lord in prayer and then wait. And he says, after you've waited, wait some more. And that's why I find a lot of folks have trouble is they don't want to wait. And they want to make their decision based on their own want. And that own want is actually something pleasing the flesh. Now, I did not look on a map, place my finger on Dixon and say, Lord, that's where I want to live. This is where God chose for me to be. God showed me it was his will for me to move here. And, you know, you'd have to know it was God's will to make a big move like that. Leave everything we had up in Ohio and move down here to with people we barely knew. I had to know it was the will of God. I had to take that into consideration. If God would have gave me a map and say, place your finger and that's where you could live, there'd have been other places I would have chose. Not trying to say anything bad about Dixon, but I love the mountains. But see, I can't just go live in the mountains because I love the mountains. I got to live where God wants me to live. I can say, well, you know what? I know where there's some churches in the mountains. I can just go move to that mountains, go to that church. Well, if anywhere God placed me, then I can't go there. If God don't lead me to go to that church, then I'm not going to be any help in that church, and I ain't going to get no help in that church. Sometimes people think they can just go to any church they want to go to. No, you got to go where God places you. And I'll tell you what, God knows that sometimes we're just foolish humans. We're just humans sometimes and we don't, and our ways, the Bible says, is not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And sometimes we've got wrong thoughts. We think on things wrong. We look at them wrong. But when we look for God's will in it, then God's way about it, then once you get in the will of God, then you got a peace about it. And I'm going to tell you this, the will of God will never lead you away or against the word of God. If something is against the word of God, the will of God's not going to lead you that way. Now, education, it can give you a good job. You know, it can help you pretty much locate in a lot of different places. And it can give you good standing among the people and help you, maybe give you a good living. But you got to remember one thing. Someday you got to die. And the Bible says that all man will die and then the judgment. And the dying part ain't so hard. It's the judgment part. Because when you come before God in the judgment, he's not going to inquire of you how much schooling do you have. He's not going to inquire of you where you lived. He's going to inquire of you what you did with the word. What did you do with the word that was presented to you? And the prophet says that people who stand in judgment, he says, those services they sat in and heard the word will come back and replay to them. They'll hear it again. The voice of many waters. He said it was those preachers that was crying out in those services they sat in. Now, as I said, the will of God will never point you away from the Word of God. You know, there's a North Star. And the North Star, why, you know, sailors can set their compass by the North Star. That star stays stable. And they can set their navigational tools according to that star and navigate to where they want to go. And Brother Branham said, the North Star is the Word. And he said, the compass is the Holy Spirit. And he said, that compass will always point you toward the Word. And he says, how could men go after other creeds and say they've got the compass? Because the compass wouldn't point them toward a creed, but it would point them to the Word of God. It'll never lead you against anything that is the Word. The Holy Spirit always points you to the Word. How can He point to anything else? In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 through 14, I'll read it to you. And it says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Here we go into what's going to be required of us. But to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways. If you're walking in a way that's not God's way, then I'm telling you the end of that way is damnation. Now, I know that you could sit here and say, well, I've heard these things for years. It seems like nothing's happened. I started this service off telling you something may have happened. It may be a sign of the end. And if it is, where's your end going to be? My grandpa always said, where are you going to spend eternity? Think about it. We ministered past couple of times, past couple of Sundays, we ministered on having loved this present world and how people get their focus more on their things and desires of this world than they do the world to come. And how that the Bible says, that Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And how that many people forsake God and forsake God's ways because they love this present world. But we need to think on the world to come. We need to think on eternity. And where do you want to spend it at? But to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God. Now, the Bible says you can't love mammon and God. So if you, in other words, if you love this world, then the Bible says the love of God is not even in you. You've got to love God more than anything. It says, and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul. In other words, it means you can't play at this thing. You can't halfway serve him. You can't say, well, I'll attend church. Attending church ain't enough. Where's your soul at? The Bible says, where a man's treasures are, there will his heart be also. Where's your treasures this morning? You treasure this life more than the life to come? Serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thine good. So he did it for our good. To keep his commandments are for our good. It's not a set of rules to bind us down with, but it's for our good. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord thy God. Oh, my. Now, many times when we're considering our ways, thinking on our ways, we'll get to look around at the ways of others. Look around at what this fella's doing or what this next one's doing. Sometimes we get to look at them, we look at them and say, well, they're not serving God, and look what's happening to them, man. They're just making like money hand over fist. They're prosperous. Look at all the things they've got. The Bible says in Psalms 37:7, said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We covered that. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways. So don't fret when you see somebody else seems like they're not doing right, but they seem to be prospering. Don't fret yourself over that. I find it hard to believe that a child of God could go against God and prosper. So when I see somebody who's against God and they're prospering, I begin to think they ain't even in God's plan. God ain't even acknowledging them. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because the man who bringeth wicked devices, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In Psalm 73, I looked up how to pronounce this name of this fellow who wrote this psalm. And if I've got it right, it's Asaph. But he says in Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But then he begins to think on his ways. And he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. So he's saying he was slipping from the ways of God. But then he gives a reason why. He said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he got his eyes on the prosperity of the wicked, and it took his eyes off of his course. Took his eyes off of his ways and the way he should be going, the ways of the Lord. Because he was looking at the prosperity of the wicked. Look, Brother Branham said, let those people alone. They're having their millennium now. The wicked that prosper in their ways, they're having their millennium now. But ours is yet to come. Friends, there is nothing to compare to the millennium that we're going to live through. It says that the lion will lay down by the lamb. It says the beast of the wild will be led by a little child, meaning there's going to be a change in all of nature, creation. And it said they'd beat it would be such a time of peace that the swords would be beat into plowshares. What a time we're going to have. There's nothing in this present world that's worth missing at. There ain't nobody in this present world that's worth missing that over. I've seen people make their decision that they're not going to follow the ways of the Lord or serve God or follow this message because their spouse didn't want to follow it. Well, they're not going to follow it. They're not, you know, I heard somebody say, if they're not going to be in heaven, why would I want to be there? Who wants to go to hell? Who wants to go to torment? I don't. The Bible doesn't say work out the salvation for you and your spouse. It says let every man work out his own salvation. You need to think about your own salvation. Proverbs 3:31 says, envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. He's talking about the devil. Don't envy him and don't choose none of his ways. His ways are the ways of death. Psalms 37:4-5 says, delight thyself in the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If we can't find joy in serving the Lord, then something is wrong with us. It's not anything wrong with him. It's not something wrong with the church. It's something wrong with them within ourselves. It's something somewhere the devil has pulled one on you. I ain't saying you ain't a son or daughter of God. I'm saying somewhere the devil's pulled something on you. Just like David. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He hadn't lost it, but he needed to restore his joy over it. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is thy strength. So we should take joy in serving the Lord. It shouldn't be if I wasn't going to church, I could go do this or that. If I wasn't going to church, I could go date this fella or date this girl. One of those things you need to acknowledge the Lord in also that I didn't bring out earlier is choosing a mate. When it comes to choosing a mate, you need to consider the Lord first. When I was growing up, we went to a message church when I was a little boy in Lorain, Ohio. And then when I was about 11 years old, we moved. And we moved down to another church, and it seemed like everybody that came to that church had boys in their family. Wasn't no girls. So there was no girls in the church. All boys. Matter of fact, one family had four boys in the family. And so every once in a while we'd go visit and have combined service with this other church, and this other church had some girls. And so, you know, we'd get in our mind, well, they must, you know, that's only girls, must be them girls. But it wasn't. And to make a long story short, God took me and brought me all the way back to the church that I had left and we went to when I was a little boy to find my wife, who wasn't going there when I was a little boy. And all the years that I come up to visit that church, she wasn't going there. It wasn't until one of the last times before I graduated high school I come up to visit that she was there. So my point in all this is this. Don't get to looking around saying, well, we ain't got no fellas in this church, or we ain't got no girls in this church, or we ain't got this or that in this church. Look, God's got somebody for you. But the Bible says, wait upon the Lord. Don't try to do it yourself. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord. That the Lord is good and the Lord knows what he's doing. And not only that, he knows the right time. Now, as humans, generally speaking, we can only really focus on one thing at a time. If somebody's talking to you and you ain't focused on them, you probably ain't hearing nothing they got to say. You need to, you know, I find we would talk a lot different to one another if we understood one another better. And the way we can understand one another better is put yourself in the other fellow's shoes. And, you know, As I began to grow older, I was able more and more to put myself in my daddy's shoes. When I was young, teenager, I never wanted to be in his shoes. People say, you're going to be like him. And no, I'm not either. Because, you know, when you're a teenager, you think you know better than everybody else. Nobody can tell you nothing. You know, you got great understanding. And most of what teenagers say is, well, you just wouldn't understand. No, because we're stupid. We never were young at any time. We don't know how young people think. We never been there before. Think about it. Mom and Dad understands a lot more than what you think they do. But here's the main thing. If mom and dad is acknowledging the Lord in their ways, they're going to acknowledge the Lord court in your ways. Brother Branham says, until you come of the age of accountability to receive the Holy Ghost for yourself, your mom and dad is your Holy Ghost. But as I got older and my kids got older, I began to see things different. And, you know, I look back. Did my daddy make mistakes? Sure, he made mistakes. I'm talking about mistakes when it came to raising me. Sometimes he whooped too hard. You know, sometimes I think he whooped out when he was angry. And I made some of the same mistakes when I was raising mine. But I begin to look and see things from a different point of view when it comes to me raising mine. I begin to look at it differently at my dad than I did back then. We ought to be able to put ourselves in one another's shoes. Say, I don't know if I can do that. Well, one of the ways you can do it is if you got to, get down and pray. Prayer is the answer to a lot of things. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. So when it comes to your ways, the way to acknowledge him is to commit your ways unto him. Lord, I'm putting that in your hands. When I met Sister Mina, I prayed all the time. Lord, is this me and her supposed to be together? Is this the one you have meant for me? Is my the one you meant for her? And I remember telling her, I said, we need to really pray. I said, because if I'm not the one meant for you, then I'm just getting in the way of the one that God does have for you. And I meant those things. So you pray. Prayer is the answer. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That's how you do it, is through prayer. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. There's that word trust again. Trust in the Lord. When has the Lord ever done something bad for you? The Lord don't do bad things. The Lord allows death, but God is not death. You understand? The angel of death is the devil. And he's got a right to bring death to any one of us as soon as God will let him, because of the fall in the beginning. He's got a right to do it because God's word said, in the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. And we have condemnation by representation. We were represented there in the garden by Adam and Eve. So we're condemned right along with them in this body of flesh. Psalms 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. If you'll commit your ways to the Lord, he gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. I think about the times when I was a teenager, the times that the devil tried to kill me. And God had an angel there watching over me that kept me and saved me from the devil's devices. If it hadn't have been for that, I wouldn't be here today. But he gives his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways, in all thy ways. If you, in all your ways, acknowledge him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, if you got something going on and you can't give thanks to the Lord about it, then you got the wrong thing going on. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the mind that is in Christ Jesus be in you, the Bible says. Renew your mind. You know what you come to church for? To renew your mind. To get your mind right. Because we're human. I'm human. Just like you. And there's times I need some adjustments. And God's got to make some adjustments on me. And my thinking. So how do you keep your thinking in line? Committing my ways to the Lord through prayer. I go to the Lord and I'll talk to the Lord about what I'm thinking. This is right what I've been thinking, Lord. Now, is my thoughts wrong? I'll tell you this, you can never take it to the Lord in prayer and get up from there empty-handed. If you really pray, I mean till you break through. See, a lot of people do these quick little prayers. And ain't nothing wrong with saying a quick prayer now and then. But there's times you need to get down there and pray until you break into that presence. Till you break through. You got a problem going on? Don't just do a quick little prayer. Lord God, you know, help me out of this problem. Lift up my job. Do this or that. No, get down and just pray until you break into that presence. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, I won't have to tell you what that is. When you experience it, you'll know. But I'll tell you this, you'll see some changes happen. There's a man who does a lot of work for us on the house. He's done a lot of work on our house. And I've talked to him now and then. And he don't claim to serve God or really go to church, nothing. But he told me, he said, when work kind of gets slowing down, he said, I just pray about it. Now, my goodness, I thought that man could pray about it. What about us? If he said he trusts in the Lord, then how about us? Whew. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's what we want in our life. We don't want the permissive will of God. Balaam got the permissive will of God. He kept going to God about what he wanted to do until finally God said, well, just go ahead and do it, Balaam. Y'all know the story. So Balaam was going to go down there and take that money and curse Israel. You know, and while he was on his way down there, why the donkey he was riding on stopped the old mule. And he tried to get the thing to go and it didn't want to go and he got down and beat it. And then the mule even talked to him. And Balaam still wasn't moved. My goodness sakes, if an animal started talking to me, I'll tell you what, he'd have my attention real quick, because I know animals can't talk, but Balaam was so caught up in himself that he didn't even pay any attention to the mules talking to him. Then his eyes were open, he saw the angel of the Lord standing there with the sword and was going to slay him. He had the permissive will of God. I want the perfect will of God. I want to be perfect in God's will. Let me tell you something else about finding a mate and marriage and all that. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much of the Holy Ghost you've got. You're going to have disagreements in your marriage from time to time. You will. Why? Because we're stinking humans. But if you ain't got the right one, buddy, it's going to get bad. And there's many of men and women that are serving God in this message that are serving God by themselves because they was with the wrong person and ended up separated or divorced or whatever. And are serving God now by themselves, all alone. You think you feel alone now? Right now, you young people, you've got a choice yet to get married. You get married and then divorced, and you ain't got no more choice, and then you're alone. Who gave himself for our sins, Galatians 1 says, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He come to deliver us from this present evil world. I find that most people, or a lot of people, have a tendency, instead of putting God first, they put him last. I remember a story in the Bible where the prophet comes down and there's that little widow woman with her son. And it's time of famine. And the prophet tells her to bring him something to drink. And so while she went to go fetch it, he said, bring me a cake also. And she said, well, that's why I was coming out here in the first place. I had these two sticks, and I was going to make a little fire, and I got enough meal and enough oil to make one cake, and me and my son was going to eat it. Then we were going to die because that's all we had left. And so he says something that to the human mind and thinking would sound very selfish. But you got to realize she was being tested. And it was actually God speaking through that prophet to her. And he says, make me a cake first. So put God first. And he said, if you put me first, make me a cake first, the meal barrel will never go empty and the crucible oil will never run dry. Now, I don't know how God did it, but I imagine if she walked in there and had a full barrel of meal and a full cruse of oil, everybody else would have been wanting some too. So in my way of thinking, I figure maybe she had to scrape the bottom of the barrel every time. And every time it seemed like the last drop of oil coming out of the cruse. But every time she went, there was enough to make another cake. Put God first. Put his word first. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto you. Seek God first. Don't seek your own desires first. Don't seek your own wants first. Seek God first. Brother Branham says this, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. 59, he said, do you love him? Ask yourself, is my love sufficient for him? Lord, do I love you enough? In other words, have I loved and put him first? When I wake up in the morning, Do I praise him? All through the day, do I praise him? In my decisions, do I ask myself, is it your will, Lord? Do I really put him first in everything? Does he come first? Do we really put him first in everything? If you're not, then you're not acknowledging him in all your ways. You got to put serving God before everybody else in your family. God's got to come first. And you know who comes last? You. If things is right, then you come last. God comes first. Then your spouse and kids. And so on and so forth. And you last. If you ain't got no spouse, you ain't got no kids, and it's just you, then God comes first and you come last. Whatever you got that you want, it comes last. Serving God's got to come first. Well, I don't know if I really feel like going to church today. I ain't talking about somebody being sick or ill. I ain't talking about this whole pandemic thing. I'm talking about those times when somebody just says, I really don't want to go. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you never got up on a Sunday morning and had a thought, man, I don't know if I really want to go or not. That's the flesh. The spirit's always willing. There's a brother, he's passed on now. I've known him since I was just a young teenager. And he would always make this statement. He'd say, people would come up to him and say, well, I'll be at church if the Lord's willing. He'd say, oh, he's willing. You know, they say, yeah, I'll do this or that if the Lord's willing. He said, oh, he's willing. I never forget that. Psalms 16:8, David said, I have set the Lord before me. That's a good thing to do. I have set the Lord before me. So he could not be confused about it. He wanted to be conscious of God's presence. I have set the Lord before me. I have set the Lord always before my face. Now I, David, have set the Lord before my face, always to be conscious of God's presence. Brother Ram said, wouldn't that be a good lesson for all of us tonight? Set the Lord before our face so that we'll be conscious of his presence. Put him first. Why? Put him first before you. Why? Then you won't sin when you realize that constantly you're in the presence of God. When you realize God's around, you'll watch what you say. Sometimes we say and do things like God ain't around. There's an old song that says there's an all-seeing eye watching you. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So everything you do or say, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If something you're doing, you can't do it in the name of Jesus, you shouldn't be doing it. That's pretty plain simple. I don't think it needs a lot of interpretation. If something you're doing that you can't do it in the name of Jesus, then you shouldn't be doing it. And if you go on over top of all this and go do it anyhow, you're the one that's going to have to pay for that. I'll tell you this, you can get right with God, but it doesn't annul the word that says, whatsoever seeds a man sows, that shall he reap. So when you're out there sowing your wild oats before you come to the Lord, Don't think you ain't going to reap that. You will reap it. Listen, there ain't no way around it. Think about it logically. If you went out and sowed corn and then decided later, I really don't like corn, guess what's going to come up in your garden? Corn, because that's what you planted there. It don't matter that you change your mind and say you don't like it no more. It's still going to come up because that's what you planted. So if you plant wrong seed, you plant stuff of the devil in your life, it's going to come up. You're going to reap it. Don't matter if you decide, well, I don't want that no more. You still sowed it. But see, the positive side of that is if you sow some good stuff, you'll reap that too. So when you come to the Lord, just start sowing as much good as you can. It'll help you over those times of reaping that stuff you wish you hadn't sowed. God will bless you if you sow the right seed. Yes, sir. I'll tell you this. You do things for God's people, God will bless you for it. Don't look to the devil to do anything good for you over it. When it comes to the devil, no good deed goes unpunished. He'll give you a world of heartache. Brother Branham says, 1961, said, many fine women in this world tonight, but there's one Miss William Branham. She's the one that goes with me. And there's one church that lives in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Can you smoke a cigarette in the name of Jesus? Can you tell a lie in the name of Jesus? Could you steal in the name of Jesus? Could you turn away from God's truth in the name of Jesus? Certainly you could not. Well, whatsoever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. So there you are. Could I go out with this worldly girl in the name of Jesus? I don't think so. Could I go out with this worldly boy in the name of Jesus? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I know you can't. So in case you needed more interpretation on it, I just read it to you. Amen. All you do it in the name of Jesus. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. We're thankful for the word, Lord, that you've given us. We're thankful, dear God, that you think enough of us, Lord, to come down and speak to us in this way. And Lord, I know this morning that I was talking to also a lot of born-again, Holy Ghost-filled people. But Lord, we still always need reminding. Lord, we need to renew our minds. We need, Father, sometimes to have our memory shook up just a little bit. Bring things back to the forefront. For Lord, we're human. And God, day to day, we deal with this flesh. No wonder Paul said that he had to die daily. He was talking about this flesh. And Lord, we deal with this flesh from day to day. And Lord, after day in, day out, dealing with this flesh, sometimes we get a little bit off center. And Lord, that's when you got to bring us back and zero us back in, Lord. Get our steps, get us back in step, dear God. Sometimes, Lord, we do like Peter. Lord, we get our eyes on the things around us more than on where we're going. And Lord, it makes us stumble. It makes us sink. Lord, from service to service, you take us by the hand and raise us up. Ask us where our faith was. Lord, increase our faith. I ask your blessings on the people now today, Father, as they go. Keep them safe, dear God, and free from the harm of these things that are going on, dear God. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.